A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Oh, I'll show you my bingo wings. How about those? Is that getting everybody into the... Oh, she's so sexy with her bat wingy things. Woo.
Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith.
Hello, everyone. How is everyone? I don't want to... This is the new me now. Forget the old Jen. She's gone. This is LA Jen.
And smiling.
I'm feeling very optimistic. I feel quite upbeat. I'm very earnest. I'll talk very intensely about things. I'll get eye contact with you while I'm talking. I might even move my hand towards your arm and hold your arm while I'm talking, whilst keeping eye contact. That's what LA's done for me.
Is that what LA does? Oh my God.
Wow, I look forward to that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's buzzing here. We're all very positive. Things can happen, things are moving. Yeah? Productivity, blah, blah, blah.
So what have you been up to in LA? Have you done anything exciting, apart from meetings, obviously?
Well, nothing particularly exciting, because all my days are full with meetings. But I went to Santa Monica. We went out and had a night out in West Hollywood. Yesterday, I went to a leisure party in Silver Lake. You know, I'm just living it up here. I'm just full-time Hollywood lesbian now, I'm afraid. It's unfortunate that it's had to happen, but it has, so... But no, it's genuinely, when we arrived, I mean, there wasn't even any sunshine. I couldn't believe it. It was raining and cold. I was wearing my coat.
Yeah.
I was wearing my coat. We've had 2 days of sun, and when the sun comes out, the UV is very intense. I can only imagine what it's like here in the summer. It must be almost unbearable. But yeah, it's been fun, you know. It's just something... You know, you just go somewhere different for a bit. It's just a laugh. I'm sure if I lived here, I'd be like, what the fuck? But as a tourist, as a interloper, just wandering in and having a little look. And I'm going to tell you something that was hilarious, though. I got taken to the Beverly Hills Hotel, okay, by a Hollywood producer. I love saying that. If she's listening to this, she'll roll her eyes. But anyway... And we went to the Beverly Hills Hotel, which I don't really know anything about, but apparently...
it's really well known.
It's well known. It's a sort of place that some sort of rich Hollywood types and celebs go. There weren't anywhere when I went. Or were there? So I'm sitting there having this meeting. We're outside. We're by the pool in a booth. And I just said to my producer friend, I'm just going to go to the bathroom. I go to the bathroom. As I'm coming back, I notice this table of this family of four are staring at me. I'm like, what's going on here? I don't know what's going on. I get back into the booth and we start tapping away and working again. And look up, two little teenagers are standing next to me going, hi, can I get a photo with you? I said, what? She went, can I get a photo? And I was looking at her like, I said, I don't think you know. I said, I'm not whoever you think I am. Who do you think I am? She went, are you that comedian? And I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing that's ever happened. I'm at the Beverly Hills Hotel. I'm with a producer and someone's asking to have a photo with me. I was like, the timing of this could not have happened any better. That doesn't happen in the UK. And it was happening in...
No, That's amazing.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Oh. I mean, at the time, I didn't love it. I was absolutely mortified. But afterwards, I was like, that's quite cool. That's quite cool.
How could you be so mortified? Are you kidding? That's lovely.
That's great.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, it's because it was just too, you know me, I can't cope with any sort of, I don't know, compliments or anything. So I was like, oh God, this is so awkward. And now I've got to stand here, have my photo taken. I think people are looking at me going, who the F is she? And why does anyone want their photo with her? Anyway, it was fun.
They're going like this. Who is she? Who is she? And why do they want
her? Yeah, no, but...
Should we get a photo with her? Should we get a photo with her? That's what's going on in their minds, Jen. Oh, that's so lovely.
This is it. When someone asks for your photo at the Beverly Hills Hotel in Los Angeles, that's when you're like, this is me and George Clooney are practically on the same level here. This is absolutely intense.
Wow. Oh, Jen.
I like that I picked George Clooney. I mean, of all the people I could have picked. just scrabbling around to find
George Clooney, Jen Brister. It's very, very, yes. Easy to mix you up.
Very, very, very similar. Yeah, but it's been fun. And I'm sort of not dreading coming back because obviously I'm looking forward to seeing my lovely wife and my children. But now that I'm here, because before I got here, I was like, LA, I mean, do I even go? Why am I going? What am I doing? Am I having a breakdown? What's happening here? And now that I'm here, I'm like, yeah, makes sense.
Oh, I love it. Are you catching it? Are you catching that LA dreams can come true vibe? Are you getting a little bit of that?
Oh my God. Who am I? Who am I?
I know. I'm so glad. It's such a fun. Look, anytime I went to LA, it's like you're around people and they just have this like, things can happen. And you're like, oh, yeah, I guess they can. Like, people's lives change. It's a very inspiring feeling, Jen. Take it in.
It's
suck it in. Like,
so
get it
addictive.
In you. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I know that there's a lot of smoke being blown up this big fat Les's ass. I know that this is like, no. But I don't care. I'm going to take it because nobody does that in the UK. No one's complimenting you in the UK.
No.
No one's saying, we like you, we love what you do. No one's saying that. I don't think I've ever been in a meeting with anyone that said, I really like what you do. They're like, why are you here and what do you want? You're like, I just have an idea that I think you might like.
I had the opposite. I was doing Slim's Laughter Connoisseur at the Soho Theatre. And it went really, really well. I was like chatting away and everything. And then this guy came up to me and started giving me, he goes, I'm not a comedian. And then started to critique my set. Like he goes, first thing he said to me is, you need more confidence. That's what he...
Oh my God, you don't need any more confidence, Maureen, please.
Anyway, and then he was like...
Rein it in.
And I was like, I don't need you. And he just would not shut up. And it's like, he goes, you know, the first 15 minutes and then you did the 5 minutes. And he was like, really giving me this really intense, and it's like, you're not like the arrogance of somebody who's not a comic to come up to someone who's stormed the gig and gone, well, you know what? I think you did wrong here. So I had the opposite.
Did you tell him?
Well, I don't show off.
You?
No, I was actually being very polite. But you know, I was like, but you know, you might have been in Hollywood, but I was in Dorset this week.
They're so similar. They're so similar.
Very similar.
I believe they call that the UK's LA is what they call Dorset, I believe.
It's UK's LA. Yeah. Dorchester.
It's the
Dorchester.
The Jurassic coastline. Jared Christmas. It's the English Riviera, practically. Yeah.
Well, I went to the Dorset Museum, so that's what... You meant to the Beverly Hills Hotel. I went to the Dorset Museum and used my art card, my art fund card. So I got you free.
The gift that keeps giving.
Yep. And had a little nosy around the theatre. Around the museum. So that was my exciting week. Alison, what have you been up to?
That's an exciting week, Maureen.
You're in Dorset. You're moving about. You're bobbing around. You're working. This is good, you know. Look, we can't all be jet-setting, lesbian, LA, loving. you know, I'll probably never go back and this will be it. This will be the peak. I'll be like, oh, that was that. Well, that was fun. What were the gigs? Whereabouts in Dorset were you? Were you just in
got cancelled, so it was meant to be Dorchester and Shaftesbury. Then it was only Dorchester.
Where were you?
In Dorchester.
What venue?
King's Arms, the King's Head or something.
Oh, right.
And it was meant to be two nights. Ended up being one night. And the guy that was driving me there forgot who was meant to be driving me back. He went home that night, so I had to get a train the next day. And there was the trains were up the spout. So
why couldn't you go home with him then?
Because he wasn't going back to London.
Oh, for God's sake. That's so annoying. And then you're suddenly stranded in Dorset. East.
But anyway, the hotel was very nice. Yeah, yeah. But it was a bit delayed because there were no trains going into Waterloo that day.
Oh, God. This is the life of the comedian. Welcome to Britain. It's such a glamour. It's such a glamorous lifestyle that we lead. Alison, what have you been up to?
Well, I'm going to add to the party by letting you guys know that I've gone to several doctor's appointments with my parents. That's been real fun this week, guys. Like, I've learned a lot I've ordered my mom a new walker. That's exciting, guys.
Right.
I think I'm going to put flames on the side. She's gaining speed with her new hip. I keep calling her the bionic woman. She's got two new knees, a new hip. It's like a brand new Vicky.
We're hitting all of the right notes here, Alison.
Yeah.
I feel like we've all had very similar weeks.
Dorset, LA seniors. I would say pretty similar, guys. Like, oh.
It's we're on a par here. We don't need to I don't know what I'm saying. I'm still jet lagged. I tell you the downside. Some people don't really get jet lagged, do they? But I am one of these people that, boy oh boy, I get it bad. And since I've been here, I have woken up every day about 4:30 in the morning. I like try to stay in bed till 6 o'clock in the morning. And then I'm still really tired. I'm really tired, but I can't sleep. I just cannot sleep. And then I get to about, 8:30, 9 p.m. And I'm like, I'm ready for bed. I'm just so tired. I can't keep my eyes open. It's so bad. And so when I fly back, which will be in the next sort of day or so, I'm just dreading what the jet lag's, because it's even worse on the way back, isn't it, Alison, on the way back to the UK?
Yeah, it'll take you a couple of days. I always find that. Getting here or getting somewhere is fine, but getting back, it'll take a couple of days. Yeah. But hey,
I don't have a couple of days. I'm going straight into filming an acting job, and I start filming the very next day.
Well, right. You know what? You're going to be so jet lagged that I bet you're
And you know what my call time is?
What?
6 a.m. I've got to be on set at 6.
Is it in London?
It's in Essex. Yeah. Oh, God. Can you imagine? I hope the character is very, very tired middle-aged woman.
You're going to be really honest in your performance, right? No matter what performance you give, it'll be an honest one because you will.
So I won't have the energy to to be self-conscious or in my head. I won't be in my head thinking, what am I doing? I'll just be like, I don't know what this is. Just say the words.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Fun times. I'm slightly dreading that, but anyway. Well, we've all had a week, and that's important, isn't it? But it's time now, of course. We're looking over to Maureen Younger. We know that she's had a Beam or More in something or other, but let us find out what it has been.
I messaged Jen, I have just put olive oil in my eyes. And I was like, sitting there going, why is it so blurred?
I mean, you can't make this shit up, can you?
It was fine in the end, but I wouldn't recommend it.
No, you wouldn't recommend it, Maureen.
Okay, this is an old one.
The oldies are the best, Maureen.
And I think I may have mentioned it, but not as a Beam or Maureen moment. So Jen knows the story. So when I was 40, so let's say in 2 years' time, I met a 23-year-old. He was one of the sexiest men I'd ever met. He was gorgeous. We were on a course together. Jen knows the story. We swapped numbers. I never thought anything of it because he was stunning. Anyway, one Saturday I'm out with my mate. He messages me, can I come round this evening? Now, everyone knows that means, do you want sex? Not me. I thought he just wanted to come around for a chat because that's what a horny 23-year-old is looking for on a Saturday night. Good conversation.
Yep.
So I'm like, yeah, of course you can come round, right? I seriously thought this. So obviously I come across as a woman of the world. He probably thought I was going to seduce him, you know, Mrs. Robinson thing. He turns up, you know, the lights are on, the TV is on. I go, cup of tea, love, cup of tea. Give him some hobnobs because I'm not cheap. He's sitting on the sofa, I'm sitting on a chair. We talk for about 3-4 hours. He must be thinking, what the fuck is going on here? You know, the main light's on, everything. And then he goes, can I look around the flat? Because obviously you want to get into the bedroom. I'm thinking, good-looking guy. He's into interior design, probably gay. Anyway, so I've got this hot guy in my bedroom, say 3 a.m. by this point, and I really fancy him, thinking, God, does he fancy me? Do you know what I mean? If only he'd give me a sign. Because, you know, men, they're really
If only, Maureen. If only he'd give you a sign. If only he'd give you a sign.
If only just, you know, anyways. And so I've got this guy, Alison, in my bedroom at 3 a.m, sexy as anything. And do you know what I do? I show him my shelving. That is not a euphemism. I basically, because, you know, when you're middle-aged, storage is really important. So I've got like a wardrobe here, wardrobe there, shelving in between. It looks like one unit. When you're middle-aged, that's really impressive. So I showed him my shelving. He didn't look that impressed. You know, I'm not an idiot. So I took him to the bathroom, showed him the shelving in there.
Yeah.
Still not impressed.
Yeah. No. No. What other signs could... I mean, he's getting bad signs. And this is how
he's been there for hours by this point.
He's invested. He's like, I can't go now. I've been here for 4 hours.
Yeah, he's invested a lot of time.
Looking at shelving.
And then, you know, but the funny thing is, like, I thought it's like the location of the shelving was the boring bit. Anyway, eventually he says to me, oh, I'll come around to get laid. And that is really when the penny dropped, which is not really the penny dropping, is it? It's just me understanding basic English, really.
And when he said that, did you take that as the sign?
Well, I won't shag you, but I'll snog you, because normally I'd be really offended if somebody came around just for sex, but he's incredibly good looking. It turned out I'm incredibly superficial. So anyway, we had a very lovely evening, let's put it that way.
Honestly.
But I mean, you know, I mean, he must have been thinking, what's her problem? Do you know what I mean? Like, honestly, I had absolutely no idea.
And then to not even get the cookie at the end of it. Come on now, Maureen, you. No, shelving. Just a snog. For those of you who are listening in another country, a snog, it sounds revolting. A snog is just making out, more or less.
It sometimes can be. Yeah, it's making out.
The first time I heard that term, I was like, ugh. But that's what a snog is for anyone who doesn't know. Yeah.
Doesn't sound great, does it? Maureen,
no.
when Maureen told me this, I was like, what is the sign for you? Would it be the man getting his dick out and hitting you in the face with it? What would you need?
I probably still wouldn't notice, would I?
There are so many signs. I said to Maureen, I don't understand what you wanted this guy to do, to show the signs. He's turned up at your house in the middle of the night. He's listening to you wang on about shelving. He's asked to go to the bedroom. You've shown him your shelving. Then taken him to the bathroom to show him more shelving. And he hasn't left.
Still there, feigning interest in shelving.
Uh-huh. I mean,
anyway,
very, very big of you not to be offended when he went, actually, I just really want to get. I mean, the poor guy was trying his very best to go, I don't want to be uncouth or crude about this. I hope that she gets the signal that, you know. But no.
Yes.
No. Well, Maureen, no one's surprised. That's not the only story you have in that same genre of.
No, I've got loads of those.
Signals. There's absolutely a litany of disasters of where Maureen has basically hit men that she is attracted to and has wanted to sleep with.
And
shall we sleep together? One guy said. Maureen said, yeah. What side of the bed do you want?
Oh, no, that might be another one. Don't do that one, because that might be another one. You don't run me out. I might run out of Beemore Maureen.
Oh, no, you will never run out of Beemore Maureen. You never have to worry about that.
Are you out? No.
We got 3 before the last record last time, Maureen.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
You know, like, don't you worry, sister.
I'm not worried about you running at Beemore Maureen's. But anyway, Maureen, thank you very much for your Beemore Maureen moment. Even hearing it back again, it doesn't cease to frustrate me. And irritate me, actually. I'm irritated on his behalf.
I was going to say, imagine how he felt. You're frustrated. Imagine him.
I know.
Imagine if Maureen had just gone, okay, listen, it's really late. I want to go to sleep now. Bye. And the guy's like, oh, my God, this woman is mad.
I'll send you a link to where I bought those shelves. That's the last thing she says.
They're IKEA. Anyway, thanks very much, Maureen. Now let's head over to Alison June Smith, because I know she's got a problem that no one else can help. And she is, after all, the A-team.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice, cause I ain't using it. No.
Take my advice, I ain't using it.
Aww. Okay, well, listen, this week I was selfish, everyone. I've decided to deal with one of my own problems. That's right. I'm dealing with one of my own problems is what I've decided, everyone. Fuck it. Never done it before. I'm doing my own problem. So, you know, we've been talking. I'm at home right now with my parents. And, you know, sometimes when you're with family, it can bring out things in yourself that that you forget. And so this week's problem is how do I control my anger in frustrating situations, everyone? Because although on this podcast I come across very nice, I am a nice person, but there is a little bit of anger deep in there, and family get to see it. So I have decided to look at some steps in which can help us to control anger in the heat of the moment particularly. So again, this is a little bit for me, but I'm sure some of you out there can use this too. First thing I want to say is, I don't want to say anger is a bad emotion, all right? We're not going into this. I just think anger sometimes is the easiest emotion for us to go to when we don't know how to express other things. If you're frustrated, if you're scared, if you're... Anger tends to be the easiest emotion for us to display. It's kind of the most detached thing. So I feel like anger is where we go to pretty quick. So a lot of times we got to figure out, is it anger? Where is it coming from? The other thing with anger is I've realized, look, there's a lot of health problems, obviously, that we know about that can go along if you don't resolve anger and you're carrying it around with you. Headaches, digestion problems, insomnia, increased anxiety, depression, blood pressure, heart attack. Here's the last thing that I thought was wild. Eczema, everyone. You can get eczema from repressed anger. Why? Because eczema is caused by stress and a spike in the hormone cortisol. When you are stressed and when you're angry, cortisol goes, and cortisol is your skin can become abnormally oily. It produces oil, and this can trigger an eczema outbreak.
We say eczema in the UK.
Oh, we say eczema in North America and Canada. Mm. So there we go. Mm. You're all getting eczema today. Immediate things that you can do in the moment of rage to stop. Okay, these are things at that time, in the moment. There's lots of other things. You know, I'm going to say see a therapist, journal, all that stuff, which, by the way, always seek professional help. Believe it or not, I'm not a professional. But here are some things in the moment you can do to control your rage. Number one, stop talking. Shut your mouth. Don't say anything more. Shut it. Stop talking. No more words. No words that come out of your mouth in that moment will do you any good. Stop talking. Number one. Number two, change your surroundings. Get the hell out of that environment. And if you can, walk. Walk around. Do something to just get some energy going. That will burn off that, like, anger. So stop talking. Remove yourself from the situation. New surrounding. And if you can, walk. Move. Do something to get out that anger. Take a breather. By this, I mean deep breaths. All right? Inhale, count. Exhale, count. Deep breaths will help. All right? Because deep breaths from your nose and inhaling out of your mouth for several moments. They say count up, count down. If you're counting, you're not really thinking about other things. You're focusing on the count. The other thing you can do if you don't like counting, get a mantra in your head. Something that you can say to yourself or say out loud. Things like, you're okay. This is okay. You're going to be all right. Take a minute. Maybe you need to say something to yourself like, good for you, because you know what? You've taken a moment instead of freaking out. So maybe you need to say, good for you. Good for you. You took a moment. Something that is some sort of mantra that you could just say to yourself that will make you feel better, praise yourself, whatever it is, just something, and repeat that to yourself. Do a quick little muscle tense, relax, and roll your neck. Those are two of the easiest yoga kind of things you can do to help your body to process the hormones that are going through. And rehearse your response for when you think you're going to get angry. Okay. So rehearse something that you're going to say. If you feel that anger coming in, then maybe your response is, I can't do this right now. Stop talking, leave. I can't do this right now. Get something in your mind that you're going to say every time you feel that surge. Not right now. I gotta leave. Some sort of statement, a rehearsed thing that you are just gonna say instead of your actual natural response, because it's not gonna be a good one. And then after that, stick with I statements when you do communicate. I feel this way, I. As soon as you start saying you, or this, you're blaming, you're accusing. If you make it I statements, it's honest, it's your truth. So I say stick to I statements afterwards. That is all the advice I can give right now, and I can truly say I wish I would have listened to any single one of those things in my moment of anger. So I'm passing it on to you. Please learn from my mistakes. And that is my advice for you today. Yeah.
That's good advice. That's good advice for a lot of things, though, isn't it? Like just general stress, mm-hmm. I suppose, or anxiety as well. Sometimes when we're feeling stressed and anxious, the best thing we can do is get out of our environment and create some perspectives, some new perspectives, if possible, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a hard thing to do because sometimes when we're feeling like that, we just want to stay at home and get into the fetal position and rage. But yeah. it's always better if you get out. Sometimes when I'm in that mood and I have to go out and I'm like, I really don't want to go out, whatever it is, it might be I have to go to work, actually. It's always better mm-hmm. when I have. It's always better. But yeah, it's hard, Alison, when it's your family. Hey. What are you going to do? No one presses the buttons like your family can.
Yeah.
There's so many triggers there that are layer upon layer of history and family and repressed resentment.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes somebody can just say one thing and then all of a sudden it's like, wow, why did you blah, blah? You know.
Yeah.
I think maybe this is about something else. But you're doing a great job, Alison. You're a brilliant daughter
Aww.
To go all the way from where you live in Manchester to see your family in Canada and look after your parents. It is a lot and it's a responsibility and you're doing such a great job and you should be proud of yourself. And you know your parents love you even though they drive you up the blinking wall.
See, and that's my mantra now, Jen. I know my parents love me, even though they drive me up the blinking wall. That's what I'm going to say when I start to lose my mind. I'm going to say that. Yeah. So, yeah. Find your mantra, everyone.
You love them.
Find your mantra.
Find the mantra. You love them. They love you. And that's why they're so annoying. Alison, thank you so much for your advice.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Sorry, Alison, I'm distracted by the fact that Maureen appears to be drinking double cream.
I'm not drinking double
cream. What are you drinking?
It's a cafe latte.
Oh, thank God. Sorry, Alison, let's be honest. It wouldn't be out of the realms of possibility that Maureen is chugging on some double cream.
Let's have a little chat about what we've been watching on the television.
I've been watching one of your favourites, Jen, The Mayor of Easttown.
Oh, yes. I don't think it's the Mayor of Easttown. It's just Mayor of Easttown.
Mayor of Easttown, yeah. Yeah, I thought it was really, really good. Really enjoyed it. Obviously, I knew the little twist because they showed it on Gogglebox, which was stupid.
So the Gogglebox is the most annoying program for giving.
They shouldn't have shown that.
No, but they only show you the twist.
But anyway, I don't know why it couldn't be another. I don't know why it couldn't be another series. I mean, I got a bit confused with all the people at the beginning, but I thought it was really, really well done. And I think they could do another series of it. Do you know what I mean? Easily, but I don't think they are.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, they've just chosen it to be a limited series, but it is a limited series that you're right. It could go on, but I think I don't know. I don't know why they've decided not to. But I love all the characters. I love the relationship with her mum, Elizabeth Smart.
Oh yeah, Jean Smart was brilliant in it because that's very
Jean
realistic.
Mum, that bit with the
mum daughter relationship.
Yeah, the mum daughter relationship was really good, but I loved it where there was a point in the show where she's got some ice cream. And all she wants to do is eat this ice cream alone. And there's a whole thing. She has this whole ritual of just getting the ice cream out and having the ice cream. And it's like such a treat for her mum to have this ice cream. And it's in a way, I totally relate to it because it's something you've been looking forward to. And then the other way, you're like, oh, it's so sad that is her biggest treat of the day is tucking into this ice cream. But there's so many great performances. Great performances in that show. Yeah, I'm glad you liked it, Maureen, because, I mean, it could have gone either way, couldn't it?
Yeah, no, I did. I really, really liked it. Really liked it. So have you had a chance to watch anything, Jen? Have you been too busy?
No, because I'm awake quite a bit, and I've been watching Beef on Netflix, which is really good. I mean... My God, what a great show. It's a limited series. It's got Stephen Young and Ali Wong in it. And it's about two people. And it starts with a road rage incident and how this road rage incident escalates and impacts on two separate families in ways that you cannot imagine. So the writing in this show is amazing. The performances Ali Wong and Stephen Young are just so, 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 so good in it. It's a show where I would say 99.9% of the actors are all East Asian actors. And it's such a great, I mean, it's such a much needed show for East Asian actors to be able to like have really, you know, like layered, complicated, different, forget stereotypes, they're just, you know, can you believe it? They're just people with their own experiences and aren't like, they don't have to be token East Asian man, woman in a Caucasian show. So, but anyway, that aside, it's brilliant and I urge people to watch it. It's on Netflix. It's a limited series, so I think it's only 10 episodes and that's it. It'll be done. I haven't finished it. I'm not even close to finishing it, but I'm loving it. And that is my big, big recommend, is to watch Beef. I honestly don't think you'll be disappointed. It's so good.
I love the idea that it's based off of road rage, because I think that is something. I mean, you're in LA right now. You want to talk about road rage. Like, I think road rage
God,
is...
Oh, my God. People are honking their horns. They're
for
crazy.
For no reason.
And
yeah,
no...
Yeah, they're angry.
No,
they're just
nobody
angry.
Understands yeah. about... Mirror, signal, maneuver. Guys, no. Mirror, signal, maneuver. No, they're like just moving from one lane to the next.
They got places to go. They got meetings, shit to do. They've been in that traffic for
Jesus
8 hours already.
Guys.
Yeah, so I love
Let
the idea.
Let me know
idea.
Which... Yeah. No, it's and it actually is set in LA. It's set in Los Angeles. So, yeah, it's really good. And it's funny. It's a comedy. It's a comedy... It's a drama, but it's a comedy. So there's loads of funny stuff in it. And the actors in it are really, you can tell they're just like really getting stuck in, you know? They're really enjoying it. I think it's going to win so many awards at the next Emmys or whatever the awards are. I don't really understand. There's so many, aren't there?
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's going to do really well. And Ali Wong is for the Brits, she is a very good... US stand-up comedian.
She's amazing.
Who has
She's
been,
amazing. Yeah.
Who has deserved a vehicle like this forever. And it's so great to see her finally have this vehicle and just shine. She's so good. But if you want to see more of Ali Wong, you can catch, I think there's at least two of her Netflix specials, her comedy specials on Netflix. And also, I'm not sure. I'm sure she's been in other stuff that I'm not aware of. But definitely check out Beef. It's brilliant.
Isn't it great? I just love seeing all these women. I don't say girls. I say women right now getting their chance to shine in all these roles. Like, it just makes me happy to see that. So
I hope it's not a blip.
Mayor of East Town, she was criticised for looking ugly in that. And it's like, she's not looking ugly, she doesn't have a makeup on. Do you remember Kate Winslet? She got...
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, that just reminded me of that.
Sure.
Just annoying.
Yeah, no. She just was like, just make me look like a person.
She's acting
a woman in
as
her
a character.
40s.
Yeah, exactly. She's just,
I don't need to be Botox within an inch of my life and have and be fillered. I'm a middle-aged woman in my 40s with a difficult job. I'm grieving the loss of my son. I'm probably not going to be looking tippity-top. but anyway, Kate Winslet's a beautiful woman. So, I mean, what are we measuring this on? A beautiful woman that's not wearing makeup on a TV show. Oh, yeah, that's ugly. Please shut up. Do me a favour. But you're right, Maureen, it's just bullshit. Alison, tell us about your horror.
Yes. Okay, so the horror I chose to directly go with my problem of how to control rage, uncontrolled rage, what happens if you don't control your rage, the movie I am choosing is, from 2004, The Grudge. Now, did any of you see The Grudge by chance? Alex, I saw his head go back. Jen, did you ever see The Grudge? Maureen, I am assuming no. I don't want to... Maureen. Jen, did you ever see The Grudge?
I haven't seen The Grudge, no, but I've heard of it.
Okay.
I know of it.
Okay, yeah. The Grudge. Again, 2004, but I thought this just suits my problem of rage so well because The Grudge is an American supernatural horror film series released by Sony Pictures based on and a part of the larger Japanese Yuan, I say it wrong, J-U-O-N, Yuan franchise. It is about a home that
it's going to be dark as fuck then.
Yeah. It's about a Japanese home that is cursed by a murder that happened in an extreme rage and the supernatural entity that travels with anyone who has been in the home. So it's like as soon as someone steps in that home, the rage ghosts are attached to them. So they go with you wherever. This one, particularly 2004, has been rated the best out of all The Grudges. I mean, the original's totally different thing, but I would say out of like major motion picture 2004, the story is an American nurse living and working in Tokyo is exposed to a mysterious supernatural curse, one that locks a person in a powerful rage before claiming. And the nurse is actually, dun-da-da-da, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That's right. It is Sarah Michelle Gellar, and she is fantastic in it. This, to me, is just a great movie. There's so many creepy moments. That's why I like this. It is not about blood and gore. This is a creepy jump out. A lot of great little, camera angles where you see ghosts, things come out. There's that famous scene, I don't know if you've ever seen it, in the trailer where, there's a hand that comes out of the back of the head while somebody's showering, so they have, a hand on the back of their head. It is a great movie. And if you're dealing with rage, this is why you should watch it, because it shows you what will happen if you don't let go of your rage. Do you want to be haunted by ghosts for the rest of your life? Absolutely not. Do you want to pass that on to somebody? No. So deal with your rage. So I'm choosing The Grudge, everyone. That's my horror recommendation.
The Grudge it is, Alison. The Grudge it is. And there's even a TV series, isn't there? There's a 2004 movie, a 2020 movie, and a television series based on the film.
So there's a lot of rage out there. There's a lot of rage that we need to
indulge
deal with,
your grudge. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, plenty to get stuck into. Thanks, Alison. That sounds equally terrifying. Not on today's episode, but I think maybe next week. So I'm going to talk to you about a horror film that I saw on the flight out, which was so bad. I can't even, it's so bad, but we'll talk about it.
But did you watch
it?
Did you watch the whole thing? You don't have to tell me what it was.
From beginning to end.
Good job, Jen.
I'm not sure why. I just thought, I've got to see what happens. What are they going to actually do with this? And then when I saw the ending, I was like, you absolute dicks. This is terrible.
That makes me so happy. Yeah.
I know, just a classic horror film experience. I actually finished watching the film feeling angry, Alison. So, there you go.
That's how you know you got a good horror movie, when you're like, what the fuck did I just do with 2 hours of my life?
What the fuck is this? These motherfuckers made money from this? Fuck you. Maureen, let's head over to you for some cultural corners. Of course, it's the corner time that is often cultural, but sometimes just batshit.
Yeah, these are like films from the my youthish time that I think people might have not forgotten about, that might be worth checking out. You can see them all. You can kind of rent them or buy them from Amazon. So first one is White Palace. I don't know if you remember that one. It's a 1990 American erotic romantic drama with Susan Sarandon and James Spader. So if you remember that, it's a really good movie, and it's about the unlikely relationship between a young upper middle class widower, played by James Spader, and he kind of ends up having a relationship with a middle-aged working-class waitress, which is Susan Sarandon, in St. Louis, Missouri. And the tagline apparently was a story of a younger man and a bolder woman, and they're both very, very different, obviously in age and in careers and in social status. And she's like, she's a real slob. And I just remember there was a great scene where she's a real slob, he's quite uptight, and he buys her a present. She's like really excited because he's bought a present. And she's like, oh my God, you bought me a present. And it turns out to be a mini duster. One of those, you know, those electric mini dusters. And she goes absolutely mental. Very, very funny. It's a really good film. Another one from 1987 is No Way Out, which was a thriller starring Kevin Costner, Gene Hackman and Sean Young. Gene Hackman is brilliant as always. And Kevin Costner plays this Navy officer called Tom Farrell, and he gets posted to the Pentagon, and he's got to report to the Secretary of Defense, David Bryce, which is Gene Hackman. And then he starts an affair with Sean Young, who happens to also be the mistress of Gene Hackman. And then she's found dead and he's got to investigate it. And they believe the killer is also a KGB mole. I can't remember the reason why. But he's worried he might become a suspect because he took a photo of himself in bed with this woman. They don't know that they had an affair. And it's a Polaroid, the old days of Polaroid. And they're trying to get it. It's not been developed properly, but they're going to get it developed. They're going to see. And once they see he's in the picture, he's going to look like it's him that killed her. So it's all very, it's a really good movie. I think, I don't know, I probably haven't sold it as well as the film is, but he's got basically a few hours to find who the murderer is. It's good, isn't it?
You didn't find that, you didn't think so. I saw it in the 90s. No, I didn't say that.
And then another favourite of mine is it was late 80s, mid 80s. Someone to Watch Over Me, which is a 1987 American romantic thriller film, directed by Ridley Scott. It's got Tom Berenger in it and Mimi Rogers. And Lorraine Bracco. And it's basically this kind of working class cop who's got to look after this rich woman who's witnessed a murder. He's kind of he's protecting her. And their relationship, and Lorraine Bracco's the wife who's not happy they're getting so close. But it's also a very good thriller. So there are three films I'd recommend checking out.
I love anything with Susan Sarandon. Excellent choice. I love Susan. She just gets sexier
with
age.
Movie.
She gets sexier every year she's on the planet, I think, Susan Sarandon.
Yeah, she's great, isn't she? I haven't seen Tom Berenger in anything for like 150 years. Is he still alive?
No, I know. Mm. And Mimi Rogers was Tom Cruise's wife, and she disappeared, didn't she? That was his first wife.
Well, Mimi Rogers.
She's off with the Scientologists. oh, I shouldn't say that. You're in LA, Jen. I don't want you to get.
By the time this comes out, I won't be in LA. It's fine.
Okay, good.
Mimi Rogers made the mistake of aging, allowing herself to every year get older.
Silly woman.
She didn't die young, so that was that. That was her career over. But no, I think Mimi Rogers has been in lots of TV actually. What's the TV that she was in? Bosch. That's it. She was in Bosch.
Oh, she in Bosch. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. So she's been in quite... She's still working. She's still busy. Thank you, Maureen, for your cultural corner. That's three films that you can find. If you Google them, don't ask us to tell you where they are, because we don't know.
You'll find them.
No, they're on Amazon.
Hey,
oh, they're all on Amazon.
They're on Amazon.
Yay. You can prime them in your prime. There we are. God, is there a delay? I feel like I'm saying stuff and you lot are all...
I feel like there might be a tiny one. Yeah.
There is a delay, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I'm enjoying it. Just I'll say something and then there's nothing from you people. And then there's like, yeah. Okay, great. Let's keep that going.
But with the delay, Jen, that gives you a minute to get yourself prepared because, you know, we've talked about our weeks. We've been cultured. I've given some solutions to some anger. But let's get back to that anger. And I want to know, Jen, what the hell is getting your goat this week?
Don't judge me. Now, you're going to be judging me now, but bloody well wait, okay? This is terrible, isn't it? That's what's got my goat. And do you know who I blame? Society. Well, I'm not as angry as normal because I'm in Los Angeles. So that's been
diluted. Has that got your goat?
Are you angry you're not angry?
No. Am I angry that I'm not angry? No, that's not the case. If anything, I'm just irritated at the weather that I've come all the way to LA for cloudy. We've had 2 days of sunshine. They were absolutely bawling. I loved them. I'd like another one before I leave. It's just grey. It's grey. You can't see. I mean, you won't be able to see. Can you see?
Oh, yeah, that's
not see. Really, no.
That's absolutely, gray. There's absolutely nothing there to see, but it's grey. The thing is, you can see, but it's the light there, but it's just, there is sky there and the sky is grey. Yeah, look, sorry, this is a very lo-fi goat. it's a very lo-fi goat, I'm afraid. I'm in Los Angeles and...
It's not the right place for a goat, is it, Los Angeles?
No, I mean, later on, we've got a pool up on the roof. Oh, dear.
Yeah, Alison, I have to say, Jen's staying in a very different type of hotel than we did when we were on tour.
You stayed at some nice hotels. Don't be like that. Maureen always stayed, we never stayed in anything lower than a 4-star hotel. Jury's in. Were they 4-star hotels? No, of course they weren't. Did they say they were? Yeah.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Yes, they did. Was there a 4-star experience? Absolutely not.
No.
But you still got that, Maureen, and you're welcome. You're welcome. I have to say, a 4-star experience in LA is very different from a 4-star experience in
Sheffield.
Sheffield, yeah, let me tell you.
You guys got towels, you got...
Oh my God, it's so nice here. It's like, yeah. And anyway, it doesn't matter. The food here is great.
Oh.
The food here is great. Really good. Fucking hell.
See,
breakfast here.
Look at this. Everyone has just turned. It's not even a goat. You've started talking about how good
you're
the food is.
You're not being complimentary.
What the hell is going on, Jen?
I don't know. It's just I'm having a lovely time. I'm having a lovely time in LA. I'm eating well. I'm getting vitamin D. I mean, even though, listen, this is the other thing. Here's the goat. Back to the goat. I was sitting outside by the pool. Try not to get cross with me. And no sun. But I'm like, I wonder if there's sun behind the clouds. No, I think it's too cloudy. There's nothing. I got sunburn. I got sunburn on my nose. Because the sun is there, but you can't see it. I'm like, what the fuck is that about? That I don't see the sun, but it still burns my face. That's annoying. If you're going to burn me, have the decency to come out so I can see you and I can feel the heat on my skin. Not like, oh, I'm going to be like a passive aggressive sun behind this like cloud. I'm here, babe, but you just don't know it and you haven't really taken any notes of me, so I'm going to sunburn your nose. No. If you're going to be there, be there. Be out and about. Fuck's sake. Is that better?
That's better. Oh, my God. I felt like the universe had turned around. I had rage. Ooh. You were all happy. Fuck, that made me feel better. Thank you, Jen. I'm glad there's something that makes you angry out there.
Yeah. And also, I had a plate of noodles last night, and they weren't that nice. So, there you go. That made me very cross.
Yeah.
I was like, these aren't Thai noodles. What the fuck is this? Fusion? Fuck your fusion. Understand how Thai food works and come back to me when it's Thai. Don't call it Thai food and then put some weird fucking shit on top of it. I mean, Holly's noodles, Holly, who I'm with, her noodles were blue. And then they put the sauce on it and they went purple. What the fuck? They were called magic noodles. That made me cross. Nobody wants blue noodles that go purple. And what am I, nine? Just make the noodles the normal colour. It's about the flavour. It's not about what it looks like. Anyway, I'm not going back to that fucking Thai restaurant ever again. I'm back on track, guys. Back on
Yay!
Track. Women talking bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a little review.
Or you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly treats. Will that do?
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.